GoodMorningCincinnati.com.
I feel like I should say good morning again. Just shifted over to a new role this morning. So glad that you're with us this morning. And for those who are visiting either in person or online, we're really glad that you're here. Thanks for being with us. We've been in this series called The King and His Kingdom. And it's been a little bit kid-friendly for the most part, and we've done some kid things and that sort of thing. Today might be a little more adult-oriented. Sorry, kids, but thanks for bearing with that today. But hopefully there's some things that we're all going to gain out of this that are beneficial for us this morning. So the King and His Kingdom, we're looking at different stories in the Scripture that talk about Jesus and the kingdom that He has in store and what that's supposed to be like. And specifically, these last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the parables that He tells about the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. So that's what we're going to be working through this morning. Now, if you want to, you can turn there in your Bibles, but I'll be quite honest, there's like three verses and they're going to be up on the screen. So maybe you want to just listen this morning, because these parables, while they're powerful, they're fairly short in what He shares. So that's where we're heading this morning, okay? So Matthew chapter 13. Now, we've all heard stories of explorers and pirates and adventurers in search of treasure, right? Sometimes they find like a treasure map with an X that marks the spot, and they have to figure out exactly how to get to that place or what that map is supposed to mean so they can find out where the treasure lies. And everybody likes a good story about that quest for hidden treasure. But how many of you, in fact, one of the greatest, most classic stories of all time, Treasure Island, right? It's a quest for this treasure, but how many of you recognize some of these adventurers from the book or the movie, okay? So the first one right here, who knows who that is? Just shout it out. Shout out one more time. Indiana Jones, right? Great series, but by the way, quit after the third movie, right? Because, I don't know, when they get to the aliens and stuff like that, it gets a little weird. So Indiana Jones. How about this one? This one's a little trickier. National Treasure, right? So, again, good series. I wish they had made a couple more of those ones, to be honest with you. All right, so the next one. Tomb Raider. What's the adventurer? Lara Croft, right? Okay, so also a very popular video game. Most of these are in, like, some sort of video game form, Lego or otherwise. But, right, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, women can be adventurers too, right? Anyone in the story, right? So, last one. Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Great movie, but be advised, Johnny Depp does a lot of piratey things and mumbles a ton through the whole series. So if you can handle that, good series, right? So we love these great adventure stories. In fact, did you know that in 2010, there was a millionaire art dealer named Forrest Fenn, and he hid a treasure worth $2 million somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. And he wrote this cryptic poem with all these clues for where to find it and released it to the public. In the last decade, there were over 350,000 people who had claimed that they had gone looking for it and hadn't found it. And in fact, in the process of getting a little overzealous to find it, four people died trying to find that treasure. And you might even wonder, well, is that just like a fable? Is that just a made-up story or something? Did he really hide the treasure? Well, he did. And in fact, someone found it just a few weeks ago. Right now, the person hasn't been revealed, but they did find it. And Fenn, who's now 89 years old, so he hid this when he was like 79 years old, he says, first of all, he's glad that it was found, but also a little sad because the hunt is over. Right? But we love stories like that, right? And no doubt people love those same kind of stories back in Jesus' day, right? The idea of this hidden treasure. And that's one of the kinds of stories that Jesus used to describe what the kingdom of heaven was like. And he did it in just two sentences, one verse, okay? Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Okay, that was pretty quick. So let's hear it one more time, a little bit slower, with a cartoon. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. And then he covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has. And he buys that field. All right. So that's the first parable. Second parable. Here's the second parable this morning, and it's pretty similar. Verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. No cartoon for that one, okay, this morning. Now, when we hear those parables, two things are true. First of all, the object, the treasure, the pearl, they were pretty valuable, right? Both of them had great value to them. And then the second thing is that it cost the person in the story a great deal to get it, right? The man who found the treasure in a field sold everything he had to get it. The merchant who found the pearl also sold everything that they had to get it. Now, what's interesting is we don't know how much that was, right? Jesus didn't say how much that was exactly. If it were a very wealthy man who found the treasure or the pearl and sold all he had, boy, that would say something about the huge value of the treasure and the pearl. If it were someone who didn't have very much and they sold all that they had, well, it wouldn't be quite so impressive maybe. But here's the thing, and here's the reason I think Jesus left that open-ended, that it doesn't really matter how much they had. It cost them everything, right? It cost them everything. And if you think about that, why would someone give up everything that they had to gain a treasure or a pearl? Think about that. Why would someone do that? And there's only one good reason that I can come up with. It's that what they were gaining in value was so much greater than what they were giving up. Right? What good does it do you to have a pearl? That's awesome if you have nothing else. Right? Why? What's the trade? What's the trade-off? You sell everything, you have a pearl. Unless that pearl is way more valuable than everything else that you had. And the same with the treasure. Right? It made the trade totally worth it. And I think that's something we need to keep in perspective when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. And this is kind of our main point, our main bottom line for today. And that's this: whatever we have to give to get God's kingdom, it is totally worth it, right? Whatever we have to give to get God's kingdom, it's totally worth it. Let's say that together, all right? Whatever we have to give to get God's kingdom, it is totally worth it. One more time, a lot louder, all right, for all the folks at home. Whatever we have to give to get God's kingdom, it is totally worth it. Whatever it costs you, it's worth it. Because what you are gaining is far more valuable than what you have to give up. So what if Jesus asks you to give all your money for his purposes? It's worth it. What if Jesus asks you to give up your plans for the future to follow after him? It's worth it. What if Jesus want you to let go of a relationship that he didn't have in mind for you? It's worth it. What if Jesus needs you to leave one job to go in a different direction? Might be scary, but it's worth it. What if Jesus calls you to sacrifice your own comfort to be able to reach out to others. It's worth it. And you can fill in the blank. What if you have to fill in your own blank because Jesus asks you to? Well, it's worth it too, right? It's worth it. In Jesus' parable, the man and the merchant both gave up everything because what they were gaining was worth so much more than what they were giving up. Because nothing is greater than being with the king in his kingdom. Right? There is nothing greater than that. So one more time, that bottom line, whatever we have to give to get God's kingdom, it's totally worth it. Now, I've shared this story before here at Portico, but I'm going to share it again anyway. When I was in college about a billion years ago, every year there was this campus group who hosted a bigger and better party. Right? It was a thing where each team started out with a penny, and they had to trade that penny for something bigger and better, right? So, and the winning team would be the one who came away with the largest or biggest, the best thing at the end. And they have a certain amount of time, and they go out and do this. This sounds like an awesome youth group project in the near future, right? I'm just putting that out there. But so you take a penny, and maybe you trade it to someone for a comb. Maybe you take that comb and you trade it for a coffee mug. Maybe you take that coffee mug and someone will give you a pair of shorts, an old pair of shorts. And then you take that pair of shorts and somehow you trade it and you get a toaster. I don't know. So it just keeps going on and on. And the winning team is the one who came back with the best thing. Well, one time a particular team on campus came back with a boat and an old car that didn't run. Like that was their final submission, and they won that year pretty clearly, right? You started with the penny. But here's the idea. What you give up, what you have in your hand, you're willing to give that up because what you're gaining in exchange for it is something way better. Right? And that's the kingdom of heaven. It has such high value. There isn't anything that compares to its worth. It's so valuable, it's worth giving up everything that you have to get it. So one more time, that bottom line, whatever we have to give to get God's kingdom, it is totally worth it. Now, that is the main idea that we get from these two parables. And it's something we want to take away with us this morning, right? But look, there is way more depth to these parables than just that one little point. And that's an important point. But I want to look at them a little bit more closely because I think there's something really unique about these parables that we should also catch this morning. Okay, so we're going to hear them again, and Rob, if you can pull them up as we mention them. The first one, the parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, we'll leave this up for a bit. When you hear or read this parable, there's a couple of different ways of perceiving it. And I think that's part of the beauty of the parable. For instance, is the kingdom of heaven like a treasure? And everything else in the parable kind of describes that treasure. Or is the kingdom of heaven like the entire picture of the parable? Right? The whole thing. And I was having a conversation with another pastor friend of mine this week, and I'm like, how do you normally approach it? And he's like, well, the kingdom of heaven is like the treasure, and then here's all these things. And I said, well, what about this? Because the language isn't totally clear. Is it just referring to the treasure? Is it referring to the whole picture? And he went, man, I've never thought of it that way before. I think we can look at it two different ways. So if we see the kingdom of heaven like the treasure, that's the first way, the treasure specifically, that's in the field, then here's what we should also understand about this parable. It's a picture of how we come into that kingdom in the first place. Right? So the kingdom is the treasure that is hidden. Right? Not that God is trying to make it tough for us, because he's not. In fact, like his treasure, the kingdom, is like right there in front of all of us. It's right before us. People overlook it. People pass by it all the time because it takes eyes of faith. But to those of us who have those eyes of faith, those who are followers of Jesus, They're like the man who finds it. And we give up everything that is ours, every earthly thing, in order to gain that kingdom. And we do it with joy, right? So that's one picture. And again, it's a worthwhile trade, because having the kingdom for eternity is a way better deal than having whatever earthly thing we each possess just for this life only. So like the parable says, we gladly make that exchange. We do it with joy. If the kingdom of heaven is the treasure specifically, and that gives us one way of looking at this parable, and it gives us a certain meaning. But also, we could read this as the kingdom of heaven being like the analogy as a whole. The analogy as a whole, rather than just the treasure itself. So if we look at it that way, then we would say, well, the field, that represents the world. Because in the previous parables we looked at the last few weeks, we found that Jesus talked about the field representing the world, right? So the field, the world, contains a hidden treasure. But a man comes into the field and sees the treasure. He gladly gave up all he had to make the field and the world his own. Well, that would be like Jesus, right? He stepped out of eternity, giving up all his heavenly glory, and came into our world so he could purchase that field and have the treasure for himself. Now, implied in that analogy is there's already someone who owns the field. It already belongs to him. And that's the one who hid the treasure in the field in the first place. The original owner would be God the Father himself. And he would not have forgotten about his treasure in the field, but he allowed it to be purchased along with that field because the price that Jesus paid was acceptable to him. Right? It was acceptable to him. So God has accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross as an adequate payment for the field and its treasure. So what's the treasure in this scenario? The treasure is us. Right? The treasure is us. It's you and me. As followers of Jesus, we are the treasure he gladly gave his life to have. And then you might be asking, all right, well, that's two different meanings. Which one is it? Is it the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure specifically, or is it like the entire analogy? I mean, well, the language in the original Greek isn't that precise, to be honest with you. So technically, it could be either. Or more likely, both. Right? We're supposed to see both. And I think that's the brilliance of this parable. For us, for you and me, the treasure is the kingdom of God, and we gladly give up everything we have to gain it. For Jesus, we are his treasure, and he gladly gave up all he had to gain us. Okay, so that's the first parable. The second parable, the pearl of great value, if we can pull that one up, similar. We won't take as much time on this one, but again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Okay? Now, if the kingdom of heaven is like the pearl, specifically, well, then we are like the merchant who is in search of it. And when we find it, we give up all we have to get it. It doesn't matter how much you have, whether you have much or you have little, you must give up all you have to gain that pearl. But if the kingdom of heaven is like the entire analogy, then perhaps Jesus is the merchant. He gave up everything he had in order to get the pearl of great value. And the pearl is you. And the pearl is me. That pearl represents those who are his. And again, so which one is it? Unclear. And that's the brilliance of Jesus' parable. It could be either, or more likely, both. So I want to close with this. When I think about these two parables, they seem similar, and these have two different understandings we could have of each of them, but they really go hand in hand. They reflect not only the sacrifice that we have to make to gain Jesus in the kingdom, but also the sacrifice that he made to make us his own. Right? You are his treasure. You are his pearl of great value. That's how he sees you. That's how Jesus sees each one of us. There's so much conflict going on right now over the value and worth of individuals based on power and position, based on wealth or lack of it, based on gender, based on skin color. There's so much going on. But we all, each one of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus, we all are his treasure. Every single one of us. Regardless of those things, right? He gave up all he had to make us his own. But because he was willing to give up all he had to make us his own, really the question is, are we willing to give up everything we have to gain his kingdom? And remember, whatever we have to give to get God's kingdom, it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it. We're going to close with a few more songs of worship if the team wants to come up. And I just want to take a moment and pray this morning, because there may be people here or listening online who are maybe hearing something like this for kind of a first time. And, you know, maybe this morning is an instant where God is kind of knocking on your own heart, the door of your heart, and saying, look, I want you to know how valuable you are to me. And because of maybe some of those things that we've struggled with and even prayed about before, maybe it's been hard for us to internalize that. But he loves you. He loves you so much and treasures you so much. And just ask, are you willing to give all you have, all you are for him? And if you're ready to do that this morning, maybe for a first time, or maybe it's like I've been kind of wandering off and drifting off from God, but I want to come back. I'm looking to come back to him. He's waiting with arms open wide for anyone. So let's just take a moment, and in the quietness of our heart, I'm going to ask you to just express that to him this morning. In your own words, in your own prayer, just, Jesus, I want your kingdom. Believe that you love me so deeply, and I want to give my life to you. I want to give my everything. Just take a moment and express that in the quietness of your heart. We know you hear. We know you know what's stirring inside of us. And these prayers that we offer to you, that we lift to you, we know that they are received with great joy, that they are received with love, and that you answer them. You hear us. And as we offer them to you again this morning, God, we offer you our lives, our hearts. We offer you who we are. Simply say, we want your kingdom. We are willing to give up whatever it is you ask of us, because you are so worth it. Your kingdom is so worth it. And we realize that we couldn't do it apart from the incredible love that you've shown for us, because of how much you value us, how much you treasure us, how we are your treasure and we are your pearl of great price. Thank you for that incredible love, and thank you for giving your life on a cross to die for us, to make a way for us to be made right with you when we couldn't do it on our own. We thank you for that. We received that this morning. We ask for you to give us the strength to step out and live by faith in light of it. Thank you so much, Jesus. In your name, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.